Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. So someone stops you on the street and says, what does it mean to be a Christian? What are you going to tell them? If you have grandchildren or children or neighbors or relatives or co-workers, if they find out you go to Eastwood Baptist Church or that you claim to be a Christian, what are you going to tell them? What does it mean to be a Christian? My time with you is winding down. We're going to get a new pastor here for long. And so I've thought about what do I share these next few weeks as I kind of wind down. And this is certainly probably two sermons in one. But if I only had one sermon to preach, it'd probably be this one. In Acts chapter 11, I'm not going to read the passage fully, but at the end of that, verse 26, it says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. Up until then, Christianity, it wasn't even called Christianity, it was called Followers of the Way. And it was primarily Jewish, but after Acts chapter 11, it began to expand to be Gentiles, and then eventually it would become almost totally Gentiles. And they were called Christians. So what does it mean to be called a Christian? Well, I asked that question years ago when I was evangelism director for the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We hired the Gallup organization to do a poll of 2,000 Kentucky Baptists all across the state. But we also did on-the-street interviews at the major university campuses at Louisville and Lexington and Richmond, Northern Kentucky, Bowling Green, Murray. Those were the main ones where we went, and we asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? We asked 2,000 Kentucky Baptists of what it means to be a Christian. And the number one answer, number one, was to be a good person. We also asked them the purpose of the church. And the number one answer of Kentucky Baptists, the number one answer of what's the purpose of the church was fellowship. And that's pretty true. That's probably a true answer. It's not accurate, but it's true of what Baptists believe, that the church is about me, that it exists for fellowship. And fellowship is certainly important, isn't it? I mean, we're enjoying the tapes gone. Aren't y'all enjoying that? The masks are gone. I'm actually getting to shake some of your hands and we're enjoying a fellowship, and it's important to enjoy fellowship. But the purpose of the church is to make disciples. That's not up for a vote. You know, I know I'm talking about voting. I'm trying to teach you some things about what it means to do church in the 21st century. And, you know, when a church was small, your church at one time was a small church. And, you know, you voted on stuff. And some of you have come from small churches where you vote on stuff. But this is not a small church anymore. This is a complicated church. Sophisticated. And you can't be voting on whether or not you're going to order toilet paper or not. Sorry, those of you watching online, we don't vote on that anymore. But I have been in churches that they actually voted on. I wanted to say, one church I was working with, when they told me they voted on that, I said, what did you vote if you didn't vote to do that? So the purpose of the church is to make disciples. Go and make disciples. Jesus is real clear about that. But what does it mean? What does a disciple look like? What does it mean to be a Christian? Someone says, I'm a Christian. Now, the majority of Americans would say they're Christians, but they're really not. They're cultural Christians. They have an idea of Christianity that it's not biblical. And the number one answer of Kentucky Baptist, one, what's the purpose of the church? Fellowship. Number one answer, both college students on the campuses and about 2,000 Kentucky Baptists, was to be a Christian means to be a good person. Now that's evidence of being a Christian, right? Now, I've known people that claim to be Christians that are some of the meanest people I've ever met. And some of them are your relatives, you know. You eat Thanksgiving meal with them, and oh my, you don't want to talk politics and you don't want to talk religion. They're just caustic, you know. So what does it mean? I mean, being a good person is obviously part of the evidence of being a Christian. So I got two passages today that we're going to exegete. So turn with me to Mark chapter 1. So these early believers were called Christians. What are the markers then of Christianity? Well, one is that you have come to a place of repentance and you believe in the good news. Now, Jesus in Mark's gospel jumps right into the ministry of Jesus. Doesn't have the birth narratives. It doesn't tell all that. It just jumps right into the baptism of Jesus, and then he goes right to preaching. And his first sermon, listen to this, verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. After John was arrested, that's John the Baptist, that was a sort of a precipitation that Jesus started his public ministry. In his first sermon, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the good news. So one of the markers of a Christian is that you believe good news. Now, there's enough bad news in the world, isn't there? So when people come to church, they need to hear some good news. The good news of God. And here was the first sermon. The time is fulfilled. In other words, the earth is on a timetable. God is still in charge. But there is he created time, and the time has been fulfilled. In the fullness of time, Paul says in Galatians, Jesus came in the form of a servant. And the kingdom of God has come near. In other words, Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God to us. And here's what it means to be a Christian. Repent and believe in the good news. There's no salvation without repentance. There's no getting better till you admit you need to get better. There's no getting saved until you realize you're lost. And so it's real clear. There's this repentance piece. And there's a repentance for salvation, but there's a repentance for sanctification. For salvation means that you have passed from death to life and you have been given eternal life, but sanctification means that's the process of you becoming this good person, this person that God created, becoming more and more like Jesus. And then you believe. And to believe the good news means then it's one thing to repent, to turn from life your way to God's way. But if that's all there is, then it's hollow. The next piece is believing. It's this believing piece. And so the believing then comes from the very next passage. So what happens is, it says, as he was passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother. They were casting a net in the sea since they were fishermen. So Jesus went to them. See, the purpose of the church is not people to come to church. There's nothing wrong in inviting people to come to church. But the purpose of the church is to go to the world. Over and over and over and over and over again, we're told to go. The world's never told to come. We're told to go. So Jesus went to them. He went to where they were working and called them to a new work, called them to a deeper work. And he said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And it says they immediately left their nets and followed him. What does it mean to be a Christian? It's nothing else, nothing less than following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus is a great hymn. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's what it means. I have decided. It was April of 1963 when I decided to follow Jesus. Now, I didn't understand what that meant. I really didn't get it till I was 24, until February of 1976. But I was on a journey. So someone asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that I am a follower of Jesus. And there's three aspects of that. Jesus said, you, and you can almost see him. He goes up to Simon Peter. They'd probably heard about Jesus. Jesus maybe even knew them. It's almost an assumption here that Jesus knew these men. And he grew up in that same area. But here's what happened. He came up to Simon and Andrew and then James and John. And here's what he said. You, and you follow me. You see, salvation is personal. He doesn't save cities, he doesn't save nations, he doesn't save communities, he saves people. And each one of us, every one of us, has to decide that, and however, at whatever age, what we call the age of accountability. I don't know how old that is. It's different for every person. But at some point, when you have an awareness of sin, you and I will be, as Dana and the folks sang about, we sang about, there'll be this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And don't you wish that Bobby Joe and Ron could get some of that? I mean, it, fire, fresh fire fell on them, my Lord. I mean, that was, it wasn't dancing, but it's creative movement. You know, I it was good. I liked it. It was good. But anyway, at some point, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and going to convict you of sin and convince you of righteousness and going to call you to follow in the footprints of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. And if you haven't done that, you ain't a Christian. You can be a Baptist. You know, we don't put that, even though we say we put a lot of emphasis on salvation, I don't think that's true. You can be a Methodist, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be a Catholic, you can, whatever name you want, an adjective you want upon it, but to be a Christian means to follow Christ. Okay? And when I get to heaven, there ain't going to be no Baptist there. Some of you are going to be shocked. Where's the hymn bunch? I want to sign up for that, you know. You know, where's the praise team? There ain't going to be any of that. It's going to be followers of Jesus. They're going to bow down at His feet and cry, glory! Listen, there ain't no voting there. Isn't that good? There ain't no business meetings. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's all Jesus. And it's people that have decided to follow Jesus. You follow me. And so it's personal. So the question when people asking about Jesus is that you need to talk to them out of your own experience. That's what I teach people in evangelism. Just tell your story. You say, well, I don't know how to tell my story. Well, that's a lie. All you got to just push the right button and you'll talk about anything. Anything you like, you'll talk about. Just ask us that are grandparents. Don't ask us if we got pictures. I mean, good grief, we'll show you. You know, whatever. But tell them out of your own experience. Personal. They can't argue with that. Nobody can argue if you tell them out of, here's what Jesus has done for me. The sad thing is that 9 out of 10 of us will go to our grave and not tell another living person about Jesus. 9 out of 10 of us. And that ain't right. It's personal. It's also positional. You got to get in a position of submission. Now, we Baptists, we don't like submitting to anybody. And particularly Americans, I mean, we don't like submitting to anybody. It's about us. We have these inalienable rights that we're going to stand up for our rights. Well, here's the deal. When you decide to follow Christ, you are submitting to His authority. And so you've got to ask, what would Jesus have me do? See? Positional. We do it all the time. We go to a restaurant and the server will say, follow me. You go to a doctor's office and somebody will say, follow me. You have to submit to someone else's authority. And we don't like that. And that's why being a Christian, when you really get down to what it means to be a Christian, the field narrows. Because we don't like submitting to anybody. But to be in a position of submission, here's what it means. It means to travel where He traveled. Jesus was always traveling toward hurting people. Sinful people. Secondly, it means to teach what he taught. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. It means to treat the disease like he treated it. We have a disease called sin. It's worse than the coronavirus. And everybody's got it. Nobody is immune. We got to treat the disease like he treated it. And the only cure is repentance and faith. That's it, in Jesus. Travel where he traveled. Treat the disease like he treated it and teach what he taught. What did Jesus teach? Follow me, he said. It's not only personal, I have to do it myself, but it's not only positional, that I've got to put myself in a position of submission, but it's also personal in the sense that I'm following Jesus, him. You know, and we follow a lot of people, don't we? I mean, we follow politicians, we follow even theologians, we follow leaders, we've got all kinds of folks that we follow, but at the heart of what it means to be a Christian means to follow Jesus. And that means that you teach what he taught. And what did Jesus teach? Well, it's summed up in the second passage in John 3:16. Now, I'm gonna quote it out of the King James. Now, Larry Percival's here, my good friend from, and Pris, his wife they live in Louisville, but Larry played at University of Kentucky, was an All-American there, but his claim to fame is he's from 4 Mile, Kentucky. Anybody know where 4 Mile is? Bell County, the heart of eastern Kentucky. That's where he grew up. Well, we have a good friend named A.L. Crockett. And A.L. believes the King James Bible fell out of heaven, like the Book of Mormon. And he only believes that you know, and I asked A.L. one day when we was hunting, I said, "You think Jesus spoke the King's English?" "Yeah, I do." I said, "Well, people from Virginia would probably believe that." But anyway, so let's quote John 3:16 out of the King James. Let's say it together. Let's say, "For God loved the world." So that's it right there. That's all you got to know. First of all, you've got to decide that you are going to follow Jesus. That's what it means. Okay? And you've put yourself in a position of submission. And then you're going to follow the teachings of Jesus. Well, they're encapsulated in John 3:16. For God. So you start with God. That's where you start. You start with God. You don't start with yourself. You don't start with the Constitution of the United States. You don't start with the Constitution of the church. I know people more concerned about the church constitution than they are the Word of God. Well, the Constitution says, well, where's that in the Bible? You know, let's make sure we're biblical here, right? For God, you start with God. If you want to plot the trajectory of your life and it's not going to be down, you've got to start with God. But to start with God means to have an acute awareness of sin in your life. And the only one that can point that out is the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not my job to convict people of sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not my job to convince people of their need for Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. My job is to share. My job is to tell. My job is to go. My job is to follow. You start with God. For God. For God. So what does it tell us about God? You see, the reason a lot of people will not follow Jesus, they have a misconception of who God is. They think God is a wrathful, judgmental, narrow-minded God. But that one passage just blows that up. For God, what does it say? So love the world. The Christian Standard Bible that I read from, it says, for God loved the world in this way. He demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what Paul says. God demonstrates. And it means that the word is an active tense. I mean, he's continually demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what kind of God sent Jesus? A loving God. So write this down. If you're taking notes, what does it mean that God is love? It means one L. It's just simple. Love. He laid down his life for us. Now, I lay down my life for people I love. But people I don't know and people that aren't, that I don't love, and people that have wronged me, or just, you know, people I don't like, people I don't care anything about, I wouldn't lay down my life for them. But that's not God. God died for us. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. You didn't have to get better. You didn't have to figure it out. I heard one guy talk about this friend of his. They were at a social gathering, and they were getting ready to go. And this guy said to him, and this guy was a pastor, he said, tell me what it means to be a Christian. And he said, I had about 30 seconds. He said, well, some people spell Christianity D-O. It's you got to do all this stuff. You got to be baptized. You got to get better. You got to keep the rules. You got to blah, blah, blah. All this stuff you got to do. But he said Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. God has done for you what you cannot do for yourself. You see, here's what we do. We put all these markers, and we put all these hurdles. If you're a Christian, you know, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Here's the deal. For God so loved the world, L means he laid down his life for you while you were yet sinners. And if you could have gotten it right on your own, he didn't need to send Jesus. It's called grace. Now, once you receive that grace, your life changes. It's the old peace. He has overcome sin in the world. He's overcome sin and death. He died, and guess what? Rose again. I serve a risen Savior, don't you? He's in the world today. I know he's alive. How do I know he's alive? Because he lives in me. You see, if Jesus is in you, listen, church, if he's in you, he's going to stick out of you. I had a 9-year-old walk down the aisle one Sunday, a precocious kid, smart, and he said, Brother Dan, I want to be a Christian. I said, let's do it. He said, I got a question. I said, he always had a question. I said, what's your question today? He said, I'm a boy. I said, that's right. He said, I'm supposed to ask Jesus to come into my life. I said, that's exactly right. He said, if I do that, won't he stick out? I said, exactly. He's bigger than you. And listen, if he's in you, he's going to stick out of you. And that's going to be evidence of the resurrection. If there's no evidence of changed life, if there's no fruit, if there's no, if people look at you and say, oh, I know how you were before and how you are now, then guess what? You ain't a Christian. Hello? You're just religious. And they're some of the meanest people around. They got it all figured out. They got God in the box. And they got, you know, they'll beat you over the head with their theology. But if you understand the old part, that he's overcome sin in the grave, and that Jesus Christ is in the business of changing people and transforming their lives and helping them be born again, then there's evidence. I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. You see? And then V means that he's the very voice of God. Jesus said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. And then the other V is he values people over everything else. The only thing in heaven is people. I can't wait, can you? It's all there. You're going to be shocked at some people that are there. I didn't think she going to make it. If I'd have been picking, I wouldn't have picked her. And then there's going to be some people you're going to go, well, where's he? I thought he's going to make it. The only way you're going to get in is in the name of Jesus. You come in some other name, he's going to say, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, I come in the name of Muhammad. He died and stayed dead. I come in the name of Buddha. He died and stayed dead. I come in the name of Confucius. He died and stayed dead. And you say, I come in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, the living one. Come on in. That's it. And then he gives you his eternal life. That's what he gives you. Everlasting life. Every now and then we taste it, don't we? We get a little taste of it here and now. You see. And then the final thing he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Oh my. He could have said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for all the Jews. See. Right? He could have had all these modifiers, but he didn't. It's whosoever. He unfurls that flag. Whosoever. Aren't you glad? That means that whoever, however, wherever, and whenever. This is doesn't have anything to do with your status, has nothing to do with your education, has nothing to do with your background, your past. What it has to do with if you come just like you are. And that's what it means to be a Christian. So the question to ask and answer for you this morning, are you a Christian? And if you are, then follow Jesus. Travel where he traveled. Treat the disease like he treated it. And teach what he taught. The love of God. For whomever. That's our prayer for you that are watching. If you've never come to know Christ, put all the religious stuff aside. All the denominational stuff aside. Just get to the heart of the matter. Do you realize you're a sinner? And without Christ you have no hope. This eternal life piece is not going to be yours without Jesus. If you realize you're a sinner, you be willing to turn from your sin unto Christ. If you're willing to do that and believe in the good news, it can happen today. Let's stand to our feet as we pray together. You say, Brother Dan, how do I do that? How does that happen? If the desire of your heart is this prayer that I'm going to pray, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of everlasting life. I commit my life to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's the desire of your heart, there's a number to text on the screen. You can do that. Someone in church will follow up with you. Some of you right here, right now, you've never decided to follow Jesus. All you believe. If you didn't believe, you wouldn't be here. But you've never submitted your life to the authority of Christ. Followed him and his teachings. Share the love of God, not only with your life, but the life of others. And I pray today this will be a day. Some of you looking for a church family, we'd welcome you here. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.